One day I went to class, got there about 10 minutes early, sat down at the desk I was going to sit at, opened my laptop, plugged it in, all those things that I always do. Sat towards the front, you know, then the teacher thinks you're paying attention. It's a nice ruse. Professor came in, also a little early, came over, looked me straight in the eye, and said, "You are going to die." And I looked back at him and said, "Could it happen before this class? Because I hate to think this is the last thing I did before I had to kick it." Which apparently was not the answer he was looking for, because then he wandered over to someone else and told them that they were going to die. I tried to get a discussion going before class started, talking about the end of the world and how we're all going to die. And to try and talk about the end of things. And he asked his various classmates of mine when they thought the world was going to end. A lot of speculation, but apparently the general consensus was soon. That was our general consensus. I want you to know that that's the hopeful generation of priests we ordained that year. But it was time for class to start. He opened with a prayer, and he turned to us and said, "You're all wrong." It's a great moment. It always makes you feel better when you start with being wrong, because that way you have to go somewhere. He said, "You're all wrong." He said, "We are currently living in the end of days. We live in the end times." He said, "Rest assured, I know this. St. Paul reminds us that we're living in the end of days." So we've been living in the end of days for about 2,000 years. So whether the end of days ends next week or 2,000 years from now or 4,000 years from now, it could be any of those. But we're living in the end of time. So you're all wrong. We're living in the end of days. It's like, oh, well, that's comforting. It was a weird moment for us. It's this consideration of exactly what this gospel is referring to. And what I love is that as we come to the end of the church year, remember we start a new church year on the first Sunday of Advent, which will happen before this month is out. As we come to a new church year, we always think about the end. We think about the termination. And what do we get? We get these really encouraging, promising gospels of hope, you know? Everyone will die, the lights will go out, the whole thing will be over. See, don't you feel better now? It's a great moment. The thing that is most impressive about it is a reminder to us that we don't have to live in a kind of fearful, apocalyptic last second. The goal is not for us to run around in some constant fear of scrutiny saying that, well, you know, the world's all about to end, so we all better run around as monks and live with this is the last 15 minutes. You know, we just gotta live it for the last 15 minutes. Quite the contrary, what it should be is a reminder that each and every one of us should be striving for heaven. What we have and what we should genuinely see out of this is a universal call to holiness. Every last one of us, you and I, are called to be saints, which actually translates to go to heaven. That's what a saint is, someone who's in heaven. If you meet someone here on earth and say they're a living saint, it's kind of misleading because saints are the ones who are in heaven, but I understand the expression. What each and every one of us should do in everything that we do is genuinely consider that our goal, above everything else, is to get to heaven. That doesn't change the fact that we still go about our days. As students, we still need to be the best of students. As workers, we want to be excellent workers. If we own businesses, then we want to be good at that too. If we're retired, then we want to live into that to the best of our ability. All of these things are part and parcel. It doesn't mean that we suddenly forget one for the other, but quite the contrary, we should see one as building towards the other. What we're constantly invited to do, what we're constantly encouraged to do, especially as we're reminded of what happens at the end, is that we should have a plan for what happens at the end. Our goal should be heaven. Our end intention should be, am I doing this to help me get to heaven? Because if we can honestly say that we're not actually trying to build towards the kingdom of heaven in our current action, then maybe we need to reconsider our current action. Now, don't get me wrong. There are lots of wonderful things that we can do that build towards the kingdom of heaven. It was once posed to Thomas Aquinas, if the world was going to end in the next 15 minutes, what would you do? And he looked up from the game of billiards that he was playing and he'd say, 15 minutes? Pretty sure I could finish my game of billiards. Thomas Aquinas, a great intellect, did not say, I have to go run to the chapel and make sure that it's all in order. No. We live for God. Every part of our lives should be living for God so that even in those moments of recreation, even in those moments of enjoying that moment, that we actually get to live for God and honestly say, that's what I want to do. And we're truly to consider what it is that this gospel invites us to, is to remember that our lives are short. I promise you, our lives are short. 100 years is not very long. It's here, it's gone, it's a flash in the pan. Not a lot of people beat 100. And there it is. It's that quick, it's that temporariness to what we have. And if we recognize how temporary it really is, that actually should draw us back to what is most important. And at the heart of what is most important should be that goal of heaven. I'll give you another example. Knights of Columbus contacted me day before yesterday, on Friday, and said that they commissioned a new artist rendering. Usually they're paintings, but sometimes they're artist renderings. Knights of Columbus, about every, I want to say every 20 years or so, but that's misleading because sometimes it's longer than 20 years, sometimes it's shorter than 20 years. So from time to time, the Knights of Columbus will commission an image of our Blessed Mother to be made by an artist, and they'll get it blessed by the Pope, and they'll circulate it to help increase devotion. Thought the Knights of Columbus were just good for a steak dinner, but no, they're good for devotion too. They've got lots of things going on. There's a lot of pieces moving here. And it's fantastic because we actually have a rare opportunity that we get to see the newly commissioned Knights of Columbus image. We do. We have this great opportunity for this because usually, oftentimes, the Knights of Columbus will commission an image of our Blessed Mother. But because of the Synod on the Family, because of the year of the family, and in so many ways, this great reflection, they thought it even more fitting to do an image of the Holy Family. Now, we have this image temporarily. It's very short. It could be gone by Tuesday or Thursday. I'm expecting negotiating, trying to see if I can squeeze out of a day and a half. But it'll be here, it'll be gone, it'll be just so quick. And for that moment, we have this reminder. It's an opportunity for another focus point to consider the family, to consider what it is that we're trying to do. And what is it we're trying to do? Well, we're trying to remember that we were saved by a God who loves us. We have to remember that Jesus came not to save us from one particular form of government. He didn't come to save us from one particular form of economics. But he came to save our souls so that we might have salvation in heaven. They have a prayer. And if people are coming here, apparently I'm running older than I thought. Leave me one so I can make more copies. But other than that, feel free to take these. This family prayer tied in with this image. It is blessed by Pope Francis. This and probably about another 100 with it. We're blessed by Pope Francis. And then actually sent out to the parishes, to our communities, so that we can be reminded of this essential part of our life. This essential part of our life where we remember it's all very temporary. Just as much as this will be gone next weekend, it won't be here, and it'll move on to its next parish. We get this moment with God. Not to say that our moment with God passes when this image leaves, but a reminder to us that our lives are equally short. We get this moment with God to live into the promises that He offered for a Savior that He wants to give us, or to ignore it and let it pass. Remember, Thanksgiving is coming up quick. It is. With Thanksgiving coming up quick, I love Thanksgiving. It's great. It's a wonderful moment to spend time with family. I also dread Thanksgiving because I have to spend it with my family. Think about that for a second. But it's so quick. In a moment, in a passing moment, we have an opportunity to either build up and compliment our family, speak well and have a good meal together, or have a fist fight with our uncle and stab our cousin and then, you know, end in handcuffs. You know, it's really, it could go either way. I mean, jury's still out, it's got a couple weeks. We need to take advantage of the moment presented to us. In the moments that we have, in the decisions that we make in our life, the question should constantly be, am I building towards the kingdom of heaven or not?